Hello, welcome to the second episode of Great Story.
Hooray!
So I'm your host, Royale Levy, and with me is Mark Levy, my grandpa. Say hello.
Hi, Royale. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
You're welcome. So, stories.
Stories. You want me to tell a story?
Yeah.
So, I have a story. I was skiing in Colorado with my brother Michael about 3 years ago in a ski area called Breckenridge. And it was at the end of the day. And we had a really good day. It was really good snow. And we were taking kind of an easy run at the end of the day. But I decided that I needed to have more adventure. And there were some trees off to the side that had heavier snow in it. And I like thicker snow. So I thought, I'll just ski in the trees for a few turns and then come back.
Let me guess, that was a disaster.
It turned into a disaster because I kind of caught my ski on a branch and the ski came off, which they're designed to do so that you don't break your leg when you fall. But of course, with one ski gone, that pretty much guaranteed I was going to fall because I lost my balance. And so I fell backwards. I don't know why. But as I was falling backwards, I looked behind me and I saw that I was going to land on my back on top of a tree stump. Now, this tree stump was probably 2 inches around and maybe 5 inches tall. So it was kind of like falling on top of a sword. And so I saw this thing down there as I was falling towards it, and I thought, this is really going to hurt. And, oh gosh, it really hurt. So I landed, it could have been worse. I could have landed like right in the middle of my back and, you know, been injured for life. So I was actually very fortunate, thank God. But I did land on it on the side of my back, and I hurt my ribs, and it really took the breath out of me, and I was laying there, and it really hurt, and I was like, couldn't breathe very well. I was like, and then my brother skied by, and he saw me there, and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "No. Barely talk." And he said, "What do you mean you're not all right?" Because he was like very upset that I could be hurt. And I said, "I'm okay. Just give me a minute." So I laid there for a minute. And I finally was able to stand up. And I thought, I'm hurt. They could take me down in one of those sleds. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When people get hurt skiing, they put them on a sled. And a guy goes in front of it and skis down and you're in the sled. But I thought, if I'm in a sled, I'm going to be bouncing when they hit the bumps. And that's really going to hurt.
Yeah.
So I decided to just ski down. And I skied down really slow and carefully. And I got to the bottom. And I thought, well, it really hurts, but I'm okay. I bruised ribs before. And I thought, I guess I bruised some ribs. So we went home, we stopped somewhere, and we ate lunch, and we told some really funny guys who were kind of like local skiers about my injury, and they told us about their many, many injuries. And then we went home, and I told my wife, who's a nurse practitioner, which is kind of like a doctor, what had happened, and she examined me, and she said, "Yeah, you don't react that much when I poke it, so I think you're okay." So a couple days later, it was really bothering me, and I thought I was breathing like not normally. which happens if you break a rib.
Like in what way?
Like not deeply, kind of like little breaths instead of big breaths.
Like this?
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought, I better go see the doctor. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I don't think it's broken, but let's have you go get an x-ray just in case. So I had to go to a different building, and then I went home after the x-ray, and then he called me and he said, well, we looked at these x-rays and I'm very surprised because you have 4 broken ribs and they're not just cracked, they're displaced, which means where the bone should be a straight line, part of it is off center. So it's like the bone is not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's like it's a completely different bone.
It's like two bones that are not meeting in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he said, it's not bad enough that you need surgery to put them back together. And there's not much we can do about broken ribs because you can't it's not like your arm, you can't wrap it up real tight because it's your whole, the middle part of your body. If you wrap it up real tight, you won't be able to breathe at all. So they just send you home with some pain medication, and he said, you'll be all right in a few weeks, which I was, except this is very common when you break your ribs. You don't breathe right because it hurts. You get fluid settles in your lungs, and then you get pneumonia, an infection in your lungs. So that's what happened. So I got an infection and I had to go to the emergency room and I had to have antibiotics. And then I finally felt better. And my wife, your grandma, said to me, Don't you ever ski in the trees again. You gotta promise me you'll never ski in the trees again because it's too dangerous and you're too old to be getting hurt like this. And I said, I promise I won't. And mostly I keep that promise and I stay out of the trees.
Yeah, that bush seems like a very mean bush. He's mean.
You know,
it's a Drake.
The bush that I landed on, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
It was actually a totally innocent bush. And since then, I've often noticed there are little trees that have been cut that are above the ground that you can fall on and kill yourself if you land on them wrong. So I try to be lots more careful because I do not want to die when I'm skiing.
Yeah. No one does, I'm pretty sure. Unless you're trying to.
Killing yourself by skiing into a tree is not a common way that people kill themselves. So
on the Blue in America, in the Colorado Mountains, I think.
Yeah.
So you can just, there's like, you go to the side of a mountain many times.
Right.
Of this mountain, and you're just like, if you want to kill yourself, that's where you do it.
Oh, you mean like jumping over a cliff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be a much better way to do it. But
yeah, it's quicker.
But
and swift.
Yeah, but not a good idea. So I don't want to do that, and I don't want to get hurt by accident. So I'm going to try to be much more careful, like Grandma told me. Because I try to do what she tells me to do, but yeah. I don't always.
So your grandma would be my great. Great-grandma.
Oh, no, I was talking about your grandma, my wife. She's okay. The one who told me, do not ski in the trees.
Yeah.
My grandma has been dead for a long time, and she would have been my, for example, my mother or my father's mother would have been my grandma, and that would have been your...
Great-grandma.
Great Great-grandma.
Great
great-great-grandma.
Yeah.
I had, how many of those did I have? I had Grandma Emma. Yeah, Grandma Emma and Grandma Lynn. Those would have been your great-great-grandmas on my side of the family. And then there's some on Grandma Nisa's side and Saba and Safta. They also, You had a bunch of them.
Yep. So, I'm surprised that the story led to talking about who would be my great-grandma.
That was a weird turn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just never know where a conversation's going to go, especially when, your language is not precise and you misunderstand each other. And then the next thing you know, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yep. Well, is that the end of your story?
That is the end of my story, and I have not gotten hurt since then, so I guess I'm being careful enough.
Yep. This story seems like a short one. Because, yeah. It's going to be like 10 minutes? 10 maybe 11. I don't know.
No more to that story, I'm afraid. That's as much of it as I got.
Yeah. If you've got another one, then you can share it with us.
Another story? Well, so I could tell you another story. It's kind of interesting. Your grandma and I, to be clear, your grandma, my wife and I, Grandma Nisa and I, we moved to Israel and became Israeli citizens a little more than a year ago. And we still live part of the year in the United States, but we're now American citizens and Israeli citizens. So when we came here to become Israeli citizens, there's a lot of paperwork you have to do. And we got here, and right after we got here, one of the many wars that have occurred in Israel's history started. Now, this was a very short war, but it was still very unnerving.
Six-day war?
No, this was just a year ago. You also experienced it when the people who live in Gaza started bombing Israeli cities. And the sirens kept going off, and people have to go hide in their safe rooms, which are designed to be safe during the bombing. So we didn't have to do that very much in the part of Israel that we live in with you. But the bombing was going on, and your other grandparents who live in Rehovot, they did have to go into their safe room several nights in a row and sleep in there. But anyway,
The reason that
go ahead.
They don't bomb us so much is because they're friends with the Arabs, and we're like surrounded by Arabs,
right?
And they shoot rockets, not like arrows aimed specifically to this part of the world. No, it's
they're not very accurate. They don't want to accidentally shoot off a bomb that will hit other Arabs.
It
did happen one time when I was here earlier. So yeah, that's why I think we don't get so many rockets shot in this area. But anyway, Grandma and I had to go to the immigration office to get some papers, and we had to do it because we needed an identification document which would allow us to get a checking account, which would allow us to get an apartment and do all kinds of things. And time was running out, so we had to go get it. We had an appointment, and we went to a place where there were a lot of rockets because they had an available appointment, and we were driving around during the day when there were rockets being shot, but we didn't see anything. And we went there, and it was time for our appointment, and a very nice lady was helping us get our Israeli ID cards, but this woman's supervisor was walking around in back of the woman who was helping us, and she was yelling. And since we don't understand Hebrew very well, we don't know what she was yelling. But your other grandma, your Savta, She came with us so she could help, because we don't know Hebrew very well, and she told us that the lady was yelling, "Why are these stupid Americans here when there's a war going on and we have important things to do, and they're here because they want to get their stupid ID card?" And your Savta said to her, "They have to have their ID card, and they came because they had an appointment, and you should be helping them." And she kind of calmed down, and we got our ID cards, and we left, and we thought, well, that was interesting. Apparently, it was not the best day to be here, but, you know, wars happen, but God willing, life goes on. You got to go get your ID cards, and we did it. So it was quite a day.
Good work. Yep.
Yay!
Well, I guess that's the end of episode 2 of season 1 of Great Story. Well, see you all next month.